This is the Real BS Show. Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Oh, okay. I can't see anything.
I'll zoom it in, Bill.
All right. Well, I'm old, so you got to...
Yeah.
Hey, I got a great idea.
I've been
researching these mega churches.
You're right.
These pastors and all these different religions and stuff. We got to start our own church.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yeah. You could change your name to Billy Dollar.
Billy Dollar.
Yeah,
that gives it away.
There's a guy
Wild Bill.
there's a guy named Clefro Dollar.
Clefro, so, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, why not just call yourself Billy
Dollar?
Yeah,
I just bought a jet.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, I was looking at some of these guys, Ted Haggard. Let's talk the rich ones. Kenneth Copeland, yeah. Number one. I mean, he's like $1 billion in assets. And
he does not like being questioned about things.
Yeah, he's 87. I didn't know. I mean, I knew he looked evil, you know, when he was talking, but he's 87 years old. He's going strong. I mean, he's still collecting dough.
People
are giving it to him.
Right. Don't you dare question him on how he spends his money.
Well, don't question him why he buys a jet. He can't ride in a tube with a bunch of demons, so he bought his own jet.
No.
Well, he's got a bunch of them, so he's... Right. He's got his own airport.
Yeah, in case one a demon gets on one of them, he'd get on another one, right?
Well, a bunch of folks drinking alcohol and stuff. Yeah. He just didn't like that, you know.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's just unbelievable that people, it's not their fault. I mean, they're doing their thing. People are giving them money.
Yeah.
I mean, boatloads of money.
Right.
This guy's got $1 billion in assets.
And they have books that they sell, and it's sitting there thinking, wait a second, you have to have all these books. Most of these books that they're writing are just...
Well, that's how Hitler got going. He sold a book, Mein Kampf, and boom, next thing you know, he's up on a mountaintop someplace with a mansion.
Right.
You know, it's just unbelievable. And people voted for Joe Biden, so, I mean, what the heck? What do you expect?
It's interesting to see when you get into the different cults, how people fall into them. And there's so many different cults. There's Buddhist cults. There's Hindu cults. There's Christian cults. There's non-Christian cults. There's like, you know, we got a lineup for Scientology. That's one that's big.
Scientology. Yeah. That's I want to join that one. I want to be buddies with, Tom Cruise and what's that other guy? Travolta.
Yeah.
I want to hang out with them boys.
If you criticize Scientology, you get sued.
So?
Yeah. I know. That's just funny, isn't it? They don't want people talking bad about them at all. Why is that?
The secret to getting sued is don't hire a lawyer.
But the thing is like I find it.
Don't have any assets either.
You got a science fiction author that makes a religion. There's something odd about that, you know.
Who was that?
L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh yeah, you know? I almost bought that book, Dianetics or
Dianetics,
something like it. Dianetics.
Yeah.
Yes, that was like a self-help book or something like
supposedly,
that.
Yeah, supposedly.
This was way back in the 70s
the
or something. I almost bought it.
The thing that Scientology really bothers me is they're very against psychology. And it's crazy because they'll put an e-meter on you and it's supposedly trying to read your past emotions or future emotions, your current emotions, all that crap.
All it is a voltmeter.
Yeah, exactly.
An ohmmeter. I mean,
right,
that's what it is,
right.
An ohmmeter. Testing your resistance from one hand to the other one.
It's a scam. It can't read anything. I mean, it's just goofy.
Well, it gives you numbers and stuff, so I guess kind of like a lie detector or something.
But
even
lie detectors don't work. That's something that...
Now, you can beat them if you try.
No, they're not real. They're not admissible in court. That's the problem.
That doesn't mean anything. Friggin' courts are a joke, too.
That's true, but what I'm saying is there's no scientific basis to lie detectors. So that's something that most Americans don't know, is that lie detectors don't work. You cannot catch somebody lying.
Well, you got a 50-50 chance. Either you're lying or you're not lying.
But
the meter will tell you one thing or the other, whether it's true or not. You're stuck.
But the thing is there's innocent people that use the lie detector as a means to catch them, and it's not effective at all. So that's why I'm saying is lie detectors, you don't ever accept to use them. You don't have to. You don't need to prove that by using some machine that doesn't work. It's like flipping a coin. That's not how we do law. It should not even be a part of it. So if you read up on lie detectors, it's the same thing with these voltmeters. are these ohm meters that they're using with the Scientology, the e-reader things. Yeah. They're a scam. Yeah. And so
well, they charge a lot of money to go through an audit or whatever.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
call it.
You'll have different levels. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You got the eight levels. Yeah. $250,000 is about what it takes to get up there.
I wonder if you can get fast tracked with that. You know, I wonder if there's
well,
a fast
if you're Tom track. Cruise, yeah,
yeah.
You know,
and then they have that boat, that ship out in the middle of the sea that they.
Yeah, that was L. Ron Hubbard's floating headquarters because he was in trouble everywhere he went. They kicked him out of the country, Spain and Australia and
Germany.
Different places.
Yeah.
He said, you're out of here." So he just set up shop on his yacht.
I heard they do some horrible things to people in that boat or ship. You know,
well, they do horrible things to people on land too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They got a place out in California called The Hole.
Yeah,
where they ship people and make them. It's unbelievable, like a concentration camp. You know, jeez.
It's like the one leader's wife. She hasn't been seen for a while either. Then
David Muscavige. Yeah, he's the new boss now.
Yeah.
Well, he's been the boss since what 80.
And then what's that one lady that was on TV? She was an actress.
Lee Remick.
Yeah, Remney.
Remney. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. She's really she's suing him.
Oh, going after him. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for her.
Well, they'll settle out of court. They'll say, "Oh, okay, here's $1 million. See you later."
Yeah,
and that'll be the end of that.
Yeah,
I mean it is so far fetched and so far gone. But I'd like to go, you know, go bowling with Tom Cruise. That'd be fun.
Yeah, he's a nut job, though.
Well, that's what I heard, but you know, I don't know. So, you know, John Travolta, he's staying kind of low though. He's kind of treading lightly.
Yeah.
But Tom Cruise, well, he is too, you know. He keeps switching wives.
Yeah.
So the Scientology finds him a new one every couple of years.
Yeah, I think they just give him a wife for being a cover. So I don't think he's really into women.
Well, that Muscavige guy is his, I don't know, his finder or whatever. He goes out and finds new women for him.
Right.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's crazy.
I have to say, Hollywood is a very weird place.
But boy, it's worth billions. I mean, they got properties all over the world.
Yeah.
And Clearwater, Florida is their new headquarters, but they got gigantic outfits in California and Arizona. It's amazing. And people keep feeding them money.
Yeah.
Same way with Kenneth Copeland. If you ever saw that guy, you'd swear you're looking at the devil.
Yeah.
The way he does it. I didn't know he was 87.
And the way he talks.
Holy cow.
That's the part that gets me is the way he talks. You know, you can look past somebody's looks, but the way he talks and his body language says a lot. And I think that's the concerning part is people are not paying attention.
Well, he has these Kenneth Copeland University or something out there, and he has these classes that are, well, they're all over YouTube now, but... And these people are sitting there taking notes and writing down stuff, and he keeps changing the subject from one thing to another to another. I mean, it's just like, holy catfish, and these people are eating it up.
Yeah.
I mean, geez. And who knows what they're paying for these classes, you know. It's,
right.
Whew. And the guy's got gas wells out there on his property. It's just amazing. He's got his own airport. He's got about 4 jets and... Really, something else. He was a pilot for who's that guy that was? Oh shoot, the really big guy. It was a while ago. I think he died now. Oh, he got caught too. And he started crying on TV. Oh, I forget his name.
Haggerty?
No, he got caught too.
Yeah.
What a joke. Oh. Out there in Oklahoma or someplace right in the middle of the country, I know if I said his name, you'd recognize it for sure. I mean, for these guys, who's the guy that swings his coat and knocks people over?
Oh, Benny Hinn?
Benny Hinn, yeah. He cures people. He helps them, yeah.
He was cheating on his wife. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, that's a big scandal. So he ended up falling from grace, we'll call it that.
So, what is this church all done or what?
Pretty much. There's probably some supporters that you know forgave
him. They want to get healed.
Yeah. Well, they probably forgave him, but regardless, you know, he cheated on his wife after preaching for years.
I think they all did.
To most part, yeah. You know, there's a saying, there's an old saying, this is not, this could be non-religious too when you say this, but there's, you don't touch the fame, the glory, or the girls, you know, and I think when you get that close to the flames of the sun, you know, it's like a Icarus, you know, he's flying up there and his wings, you know, his feathers melt off his wings and he falls to the earth, you know. I think you get too close to the sun, you're going to burn up. You know?
Well, I still think we should start a church and take in donations.
Yeah. Well, we can't say what that's what L. Ron Hubbard said. We have to say the quiet part. You know, we have to be quiet about it. You know, and then do it. You know, we don't want the IRS to sue.
Well, he's selling lessons or something, or selling audits or.
How about this one? You know, we could sell a lesson. Don't buy stupid shit. You know?
Yeah, now send us some money.
Yeah, send us money.
Well, we might be defeating our own purpose there. I don't think we'd make much money.
No, you can save you money. How about that? Send us a dollar and we'll save you 10.
Yeah, that's how the churches do it. They say, you know, a prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
You send us a dollar, you'll get back hundreds in return, you know.
Yeah, and there's nothing.
They want $1,000. They don't want a dollar. They want tens.
Right.
They want lots of money.
And that's not even biblical at all, you know? There's nothing about
No.
And so that's the part that, you know, that they're countering everything that's biblical. But no, I just, we can start with the Scientology stuff and then.
Can you, why don't you explain it to me before I go join it?
Yeah, I'll get a guy to
can you expose
that.
The Scientology setup and theory and all that stuff?
Real quick one, yeah.
Okay, because I don't want to join him if it's a joke or it's, you know, bad for me or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Okay, let's give me some lessons here.
All right.
Scientology is a belief system that does fundamentally believe that we are all immortal spiritual beings called Thetans, that we have native godlike potential, that there is nothing more powerful in the universe than a Thetan. Like, so godlike is, you know, quite literal here. And that through various decisions Thetans have made, they have fallen away from their native godlike power to fallen down to a state where most Thetans aren't even aware that they are Thetans, aren't even aware that they ever have lived before or have these powers. And that Thetans are now in a state where they're trapped in bodies, trapped here on Earth, trapped in this prison of a physical universe, trapped on this prison of a planet. And that only Scientology can restore a Thetan to its native state.
Okay. All right. Now I'm getting confused. What's a Thetan?
A Thetan is, like you said, a godlike being supposedly in psychology is everybody has a Thetan in them and that your body is like a prison for that Thetan. And that only Scientology can release that Thetan to become God, their own individual God. So they believe that all.
So there's something stuck inside me?
Yeah, your soul, basically, is what they're saying. Is
they're going to set it free?
Yeah, they want your soul, aka Thetan, to be free. That's what it is.
Why?
Because they believe that, you know, that's what, in their story.
Maybe it likes to be inside
that's
me.
True.
I don't know.
You like it being inside, that's what
I mean. Well, I'm still a little fuzzy on this Scientology thing.
We can give some crazy facts. That might help, you know.
All right, well, you got something else that I can listen to?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you thought jumping on couches was bad, yikes. In 1954, L. Ron Hubbard created Scientology, a religion whose devout followers are required to pay thousands of dollars, undergo strange procedures, and sign contracts of secrecy. They believed that 75 million years ago, there was a planet with a human civilization that looked much like 1950s America, with cars and streets and so on. A being named Xenu was their galactic overlord, and before he could be removed from power, he froze all of them, stored them in boxes, and flew them to a prison planet called Tegeac, a lonely rock which we now know today as Earth. The boxes were dropped into volcanoes and then hit with hydrogen bombs. This caused their spirits, called Thetans, to fly out, get captured, and endure images of crucifixion and other horrible things being shown to them. Now, every time someone is born, Thetans crowd into our bodies and become the root cause of mental mental illness and fears. It sounds legit. Before he became a crazy cult leader, L. Ron Hubbard was actually a published author of 500 pulp fiction stories and fiction novels from February 1934 until his death in 1986. He holds Guinness World Records for being the most published author in written books, audiobooks of his works, translated editions of his works, and translations of a single book. Much of his early pulp fiction short stories were considered to be entertaining, but his later works were hit with more criticism due to their exaggerated and thin plots. During the mid-1930s, Hubbard wrote several Hollywood movie scripts, but was not named in the movie's credits. After establishing the Church of Scientology in 1952, he returned to writing in 1982, starting with Battlefield Earth, a story that was later turned into a horrible movie produced and starring famous Scientologist John Travolta. In a similar manner to other religious confessions, where you must let your sins be known to receive forgiveness, Scientology conducts what are known as audits. An auditing session involves a subject known as a pre-clear or PC, an auditor, and sometimes the use of a device called an e-meter, which is like a shoddy version of a lie detector. Generally, the auditor will sit in a room with a PC and ask them a series of personal questions, sometimes digging into deeper personal experiences or traumas. This is supposedly done as a form of therapy. When the needle on the meter fluctuates, it might prompt the auditor to ask more about a certain subject. The point of auditing is to extract bad feelings and memories in order to go clear and continue your Scientology training. Scientology members that have displayed a deep loyalty and willingness to achieve more in the church are often encouraged to join the Sea Organization, also known as Sea Org. The Sea Org is conducted like a military, with ranks and punishments and boot camp-like living quarters, but operates the corporate side of the church, providing maintenance to facilities, earning funds for the church, cooking, and managing employees. The induction process into the Sea Org involves signing an odd contract that pledges your soul to them and says you'll serve for 1 billion years. Members are actually obligated to do this, or they're just flat out denied entry. This means that if you die as a member of Sea Org, your soul or your reincarnated self will be expected to continue serving, and this expectation will continue for literally 1 billion years. Since Scientology is so strict on beliefs and maintaining order among its members, being a part of the church can lead to what is known as disconnections in personal relationships. Anyone that the church rules label as a suppressive person, basically a critic or bad influence, must be completely separated from your life. Members who have difficulty disconnecting from relationships are socially isolated by their friends in the church and even threatened and convinced that disconnection is the best option. In 2014, Sarah Goldberg, a mother of two and a 36-year member of the church, was told to disconnect from her son Nick after he became friends with opposers to the church. If she couldn't remove him from her life, she would be shunned, forcing her Scientologist daughter Ashley to disconnect from her. Ultimately, she chose to stay connected to her son, and she was expelled from the church and from her daughter. Though Scientology outright rejects things like psychology and mental illness, its founder and original leader was extremely mentally ill himself. L. Ron Hubbard's most famous work was his 1950 book, Dianetics. Basically the Bible of Scientology, but the precursor to this was a manuscript he wrote in 1938 of a story called Excalibur. While Hubbard never published the manuscript, he told extremely sensationalized stories about its effect on those who read it, saying that it could unlock the ability to control and manipulate people. But he wrote it after an anesthetic he received at the dentist caused him to believe that he had died for a total of 8 minutes. In that time, he thought up ideas that would revolutionize everything, ideas that he considered to be more important than the teachings found in the Bible. Hubbard's own son Ronald has claimed that his father was a compulsive liar and mentally ill. Members of Scientology's Sea Organization are pressured to not conceive children. If they do, they are required to give up the child for adoption or undergo an abortion. If both options are refused, they will face expulsion from the organization. Being ejected from Sea Org can be extremely difficult for many members who have joined at a young age or who have remained in the group for so long that they don't know anything outside of Sea Org and its operations. Parents who join Scientology or who have children while they're members are instructed on how to raise and what to feed their kids. Some children are raised by other members while their parents work grueling 17 to 20 hour shifts for the church nearly every day. In some cases, kids are turned into spies against their parents by the church to make sure that their moms and dads are obeying the rules. It's only been in recent years that success stories about leaving Scientology have come to light. This is in part due to the fact that Scientology does so much to ensure that you're with them for the long haul, including brainwashing its members into ignoring outside media or fighting back against critics. The other reason that you don't see many people fleeing is because they make it so hard to leave. If someone escapes and refuses to come back to the church, they will send members to track down, threaten, and harass them. A large amount of effort is put into ensuring that ex-members don't speak out against Scientology, with defectors being blackmailed or hit with lawsuits, and they'll slander your reputation around town before you can even try to speak out. This is why, whenever important church members like Leah Remini, Paul Haggis, or Mark Rathburn leave and go public, it should be considered a big deal. The Attack the Attacker policy declares that Scientology is not a turn-the-other-cheek religion and urges its followers to investigate and take action against anyone who publicly opposes them. Stack that onto the R245, a process in which a person's theoden is separated suddenly from the human body by way of bullet to the head, and it's easy to see why a number of deaths had been linked to the church. Possibly the most famous death associated with Scientology occurred at Fort Harrison Hotel in Clearwater, Florida on December 5th, 1995. This was when 36-year-old Lisa McPherson lost her life to a pulmonary embolism and what a local medical examiner initially called negligent homicide. Though McPherson sought psychiatric help, the church stopped her from getting it. They denied any involvement in her death and later settled in court with McPherson's family for an undisclosed amount. During the 1970s, high-ranking members of Scientology, led by Hubbard, devised a plan to seek out Scientologists to seek employment at many different government agencies and organizations that posed a threat to the church. Officially beginning in November of 1974, Operation Snow White, as it was called, managed to steal and copy important files from 136 government sources in 30 countries with the use of nearly 5,000 undercover agents. Snow White is considered to be one of the biggest infiltrations into guarded United States information ever. The operation ended with the arrests and eventual convictions of 11 high-ranking Scientologists, including Mary Sue Hubbard, L. Ron's wife, on December 6, 1979. Mary Sue received 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine for her role, and L. Ron was named as a co-conspirator but was already in hiding, where he remained until his death on January 24th, 1986.
Wow. So what's he hiding for?
Oh, you know, they were after him. Because
Scientology is not the real deal. It's
no.
not... They're taking advantage of people?
Yeah, they were kind of scamming people, and so they were kind of going after him. And he was trying to go into hiding.
Maybe I should think twice about this. Yeah. I got to talk... Think I can talk to Tom Cruise?
I don't know.
See if
man.
I should join or not.
He's a kind of a nut job. You ever see him? You know,
I just seen him in some movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, that doesn't tell you nothing. He could be a real jerk.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of these national acts, they're total jerks.
Right. Well, this next one here, you know.
I need a little more information here. I mean, this doesn't sound good. It sounds like this Scientology guys, the big shots, are taking advantage of the little shots.
This next one will cover that. It'll kind of cover how it's hard to leave. And that's a clue there. If you can't leave, then there's really concerns.
Well, they did a lot of crazy things, I think. You know, suing the IRS,
They sued other businesses, and they sued any news that covered them.
They put a lot
of
people out of business that didn't agree with them, I think.
Right.
But I still like to be buddies with Tom Cruise, though.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe in how he acts in the movies, I could see that, but not personally. I don't think he's
I don't know him personally. Yeah. So I guess I need to do more research.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what do you got? You got something?
Yeah.
You got some more?
Yeah, I got one more, yeah.
All right, this might help me.
The Church of Scientology is once again proving why it's such a contentious organization. 2 months ago, a court found one of its members, Hollywood actor Danny Masterson, guilty of multiple rapes. As intolerable as that is, the case has also exposed the extraordinary tactics the church used to protect its star recruit and how it cruelly attempted to silence his victims. Since then, there have been more revelations about life inside Scientology, accusations of serious abuses, and mob-style operations and attacks. As you'll see, though, taking on an organization as bullying and belligerent as Scientology comes at a cost.
Breaking news now, an actor in Hollywood convicted of rape.
A jury has found Danny Masterson guilty of 2 counts of rape.
That's right, actor Danny Masterson has been found guilty on...
This is trial and conviction of Hollywood actor Danny Masterson. For the rape of 2 women has made headlines around the world.
After the guilty verdicts came in, Masterson was immediately handcuffed and sent to jail.
For not only was he on trial, but so too was the powerful Church of Scientology.
Masterson was one of the most visible celebrity Scientologists.
All the accusers are former members.
Scientology played a huge role in this trial.
Danny Masterson was preying on Scientologist women in part because he knew the church would protect him.
A celebrated Scientologist, actor Danny Masterson, was a star of the hit sitcom That 70s Show.
So you need to learn to keep your hands off me.
Me? You're the one who can't keep her tongue to herself.
While his character was hip and funny, off camera, Masterson was a rapist who in 2003 drugged 2 women... before violently sexually assaulting them, Jackie, one at gunpoint.
I'm never going to be the guy who says the right thing at the right time, okay?
Journalist Tony Ortega broke the story, first publishing the extraordinary allegations back in 2017.
To me, the primary story has been what these women have gone through. I mean, at so many turns, these women have had to fight for this justice, and they've kept their dignity through all of it.
Taking on Masterson meant the women were taking on the mighty billion-dollar Scientology church.
Welcome to church.
As far as religions go, Scientology is the new kid on the block, born from the imagination of American science fiction writer L. Ron Hubbard in the 1950s. He would have it that 75 million years ago, humans were invaded by destructive and dangerous alien souls. Only by Scientology can we exorcise them through costly personality testing, auditing, and self-help courses.
Is this a form of psychoanalysis?
No, psychoanalysis, they lay back. Don't associate Scientology with such people. That's terrible. That's bad manners.
After many years and much money, those most deserving are saved, deemed clear of bad alien energy. It's the peak that every good Scientologist strives for. And according to Tony, Hubbard's very calculated grand plan to link his religion to celebrities has also helped bring in the money.
He literally put bounties on the heads of celebrities and asked his members to bring them in. They didn't have very much success at first.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
But then in the 1970s, they started to get people like John Travolta and Kirstie Alley. In the 1980s, they got Tom Cruise. And they knew that this was a key to getting a better, public image for Scientology.
With the Masterson conviction, that public image is taking a battering.
was never a question for me that it was the right thing to do to testify.
Former Scientologist Claire Headley was the prosecution's star witness in the Masterson rape trial. After 30 years in the church, her expertise was called on to expose to the court the disturbing inner workings of Scientology.
What were some of the tactics you talked about in the court?
The policies that forbid a Scientologist from reporting to law enforcement, the consequences for a Scientologist if they were to violate that, where Scientology will then work systematically to destroy your life, your family, your livelihood, and silence you.
So you go to the police to report a crime or a rape in particular. What happens to you then?
It is a high crime to do so.
Initially, the women who were raped by Masterson, who were also Scientologists, reported the attacks to the church. The shocking response was classic Scientology methodology. The women were victim-shamed and predictably forbidden from reporting to police. Eventually, they did, but it would take a staggering 12 years before the allegations were investigated by authorities.
They not only alleged that they were raped and that the church encouraged them not to come forward, but then when they did come forward in 2016, they claimed that they've been harassed continually.
Why would Scientology turn against these women?
If somebody is, you know, the victim of crime, they're made to believe that they're at fault for it.
The testimony of Claire, with the support of husband Mark, was a pivotal point in the trial. As once high-ranking Scientology officials turned whistleblowers, they packed a punch. Claire was able to decipher for the jury the church's own records. She uncovered a paper trail that showed the church was doing all it could to protect Danny Masterson.
It was very important because, particularly in this case, there were Scientology reports that indicated these crimes had been reported immediately when they happened. However, the reports were laden with the language of Scientology that had to be decoded in such a way that anybody could understand what took place, and that was the role that I played.
Was there specific evidence that in this case the church had knowledge of these rapes and covered them up?
100%. They actively coached and convinced the victims to, when they did report things, to not use certain words and not use certain terminology and not to say the R word and not to mention the firearm. And all these sort of things all kind of add up to, you guys were trying to brush this under the rug, not that you were trying to spiritually enlighten anybody along the way.
Is this the most significant step towards the church becoming accountable, in the eyes of the law at least?
The coverage has been devastating. The testimony has been brutal. But Tara, I'm still waiting to see if there are any government agencies willing to do something. I don't know how much longer we're going to have to wait for a more serious probe of Scientology and the way that it's victimizing people.
Those victims may feel they have a stronger voice now Scientology has been exposed through the Masterson rape trial. But as you'll see, for those disaffected by the church, the first and greatest challenge remains getting out.
Oh my gosh, I was like, I was panicking, but I couldn't let anybody see me.
So you had one chance at this?
Yes, yeah, that was it. It's insane. It's crazy.
Okay, day two, being followed by a different vehicle, and I've tried to ditch them three times. And
by daring to leave it, Valerie Haney has made the Church of Scientology very angry.
And I've just spent the last half an hour trying to lose him.
In retaliation, she says, she is often followed and harassed. To further intimidate her, her house has been broken into.
Oh, are you the one who broke into the gate?
Yes, you remember me.
All this from a church that was once her entire existence.
I was born into it, so there was no, like, outside schooling, outside life, outside friends, outside anything. You're completely shut out from the world. And yeah, it's that's the definition of a cult. It's definitely all of that.
Valerie's memories shine a light on life within Scientology. When she was just six, she was made to work.
Doing all of the dishes for 300 people in the cafeteria and mopping and sweeping the floor, and I had to clean the dumpsters, and there was maggots in the dumpsters, and if you didn't work, then you would be sent to interrogation.
If hard labour seems cruel for children so young, the multi-life contracts they were made to sign for almost everything are insane.
At what stage did it cross your mind that signing a billion-year contract was a ludicrous notion?
Well, well, signing a billion-year contract wasn't ludicrous at all to me when I was 8 years old, believing in Peter Pan and Tinkerbell.
Golden Arrow Productions is part of the Church of Scientology International.
We produce all the audiovisual used throughout the church.
Even as an adult, Valerie was unaware she was living in a parallel universe. Overworked, underpaid, and denied the freedom to even leave. Until she met visiting actors hired to make training videos for parishioners.
When did you decide that you needed to get out? What made you decide?
So it was the first time that I had, like, interaction with, you know, with real people. So, you know, they would come and ask me, like, is it true that you work from like 8 a.m. to midnight? And is it true that you get paid $47 a week? Yeah. And I was like, wow, wait a second. This is not right at all. So that was kind of when I was like, okay, yeah, I need to go.
The day she left, in 2016, Valerie made a split-second decision, spurred on by a fast, disappearing, but high-risk opportunity.
So how did you get out?
When I found out that there was, it was the last day that there was going to be any normal people coming onto the property, and I totally freaked out. I was like, this is my last chance. I have to go. Oh my gosh, I was panicking. There was a section in the parking lot where there wasn't any cameras. And so I went to that section and there was four cars or five cars. And I checked each car and one was unlocked. And I was like, okay, great. And then I popped the trunk and I was like, this is it, the one car. Okay, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're going. So I tried to squeeze into the trunk of the car, close the trunk of the car. And then I heard my name, like they were looking for me already. And I was like, please don't pop the trunk. Please don't pop the trunk. Please don't pop the trunk.
If you had been caught at that time, what would have happened to you?
I would have been put on 24-hour watch and never let out of anyone's sight ever again.
So you had one chance at this?
Yeah, that was it. It's insane. It's crazy.
Incredibly, the car got through security with Valerie in the boot for the next 2 hours.
That's how I escaped, and I still don't know what the guy's name was to this day that helped me.
But when he discovered you there, he must have got the shock of his life.
He, like, leaped back about 7-10 feet. Oh, my God! Like, oh, my God, you were in there this whole time, and are you okay? Oh, my gosh! And he was like, are you okay?
It's unthinkable that such desperate lengths are needed to leave a church you no longer believe in. But sadly, simply walking away is not an option, as Mark and Claire Headley also know. Their escapes in 2005 could also be the stuff of Hollywood.
Why did you guys have to escape? Why couldn't you just leave, walk out the door?
unless you have prior authorization to leave the property, you are not allowed to just come and go as you wish. So when I decided to leave, I'm just like, I'm out of here, I'm leaving. And in the course of me driving down the highway, they followed me with an SUV and ran me off the road on the motorcycle. And that's actually the only reason that I was able to escape, is because when they did that, somebody that was driving down the highway witnessed it and then called the police. Without the help of the police, I would very likely still be there to this day.
Wow. How did you get out of their clutches, Claire?
Well, I concocted this need to leave the property. Even then, I had a security escort, so I managed to quite literally run away from this person, jump into a taxi. I made the mistake of turning on the phone when I was heading to the bus station, and they used that to see the direction I was heading and therefore sent four staff members to intercept me. In my mind, I decided if they haul me out of here, I'm going to scream. And I had no faith, no hope. I just, you know, I knew that if I didn't succeed, I would never see Mark again.
Valerie Haney's freedom came with a false start. After making her dramatic escape in the boot of a stranger's car, her father, still a Scientologist at the time, insisted she return.
If you could just let me go, I will sign whatever you need me to sign. I would never, ever say anything bad about Scientology.
If she was to leave, he wanted it to be on the church's terms, which would require her to sign a contract and make a positive video about Scientology. Valerie's deprogramming was meant to take 2 weeks. They held her for 3 months. What did they want you to say? What did they get you to say?
They wanted me to say how amazing it was and how I was never held against my will and I was never abused at all, and I loved it there, and it was amazing. It was like a Disneyland paradise.
Are you joking? Like, I'm literally in a room with an armed guard and 5 people outside the room. You have my passport, you have my ID, I have nothing on me. I can't do anything.
But escaping to the real world is no protection against this bulletproof institution, as Valerie discovered when she tried to sue it, forced back to the compound once more to negotiate with her alleged abusers.
You were making this woman go inside of the place that she was abused, trafficked, kidnapped, inside, back into the belly of the beast.
Hello and welcome. You've probably heard of Scientology.
He may not show it, but the supreme leader of Scientology, David Miscavige, is under immense pressure. The church's reputation is taking a beating, with multiple court cases hearing complaints of terrible abuses from former followers. But Miscavige has been missing in action, found by a judge to have actively concealed his whereabouts to evade taking the stand. Journalist Tony Ortega has been covering the bizarre developments. No doubt, though, he is still running the show.
Oh, there's no doubt he's still running the show. He's not missing. He's just hiding from process servers. It's pretty embarrassing for Scientology, I think.
Quite extraordinary behavior from Scientology's Pope, though accountability has never really been their thing. But Valerie Haney is the face of a growing legal fight back, suing the church for human trafficking, kidnapping, harassment, stalking, and the violation of child labour laws. In Scientology, you have taken on a mighty opponent. Do you feel like you're still standing?
Yeah. It's been a bit rough at times, for sure. They've tried to make it as rough as possible, but I'm not going to let that stop me.
Inconceivably, Valerie's first legal hurdle has been to try to overturn the contracts she was made to sign while in Scientology. Amongst the many over her 37 years in the church, she signed her first when she was just 8 years old. It was a billion-year pledge.
All of the
the laws and the documentation and everything that they're making me sign aren't binding in this, in the real world, because I was a child when I joined this cult.
But the real world is judging otherwise, with courts claiming they can do no else. Religious freedom means the contracts, no matter how long or onerous, cannot be questioned by the law.
Can you explain to me how these contracts can actually be considered legitimate in a court of law?
That's a great question. What's happening is that the courts are saying under our First Amendment that they can't read into or in any way assert the rule of law into what this quote-unquote religion believes, which we're not asking them to do. We're not asking them to do that.
Guy D'Andrea is Valerie's attorney. He is asking the courts to judge what Scientology does, not what it thinks.
You can believe in human sacrifice. If that's what you believe, you can believe that. You can't commit that act, right? You can't do that. And that's all we're saying here. But the courts, for whatever reason, in Val's case, are refusing to see that or refusing to look at it, at least at this stage.
In other cases, judges have said their hands are tied. Do you agree with that?
No, their hands are not tied. You don't have to look at the belief system.
But to resolve the case, the court has ordered Valerie to return to the Lion's Den, to enter Scientology's internal arbitration process, allowing the church to be its own judge and jury.
How let down do you feel by the legal system?
I was definitely shocked when I was told to go back into their grips. I was shocked when I was told that I had to do that.
Valerie will subject herself to arbitration if it means she might eventually get to a proper court. But whistleblower Claire Headley says judges are being hoodwinked. Scientology's arbitration has nothing to do with their religious beliefs. Rather, it's a contrived legal strategy.
There is no such thing as arbitration. It is not Hubbard policy. It is not Scientology policy. It is simply an effort by Scientology to cover up more crimes.
If we can just get into the litigation, right? If we can start taking depositions, right? Interviewing their people on the record, getting the documents, getting the videos, we will truly expose to the world, which Scientology does not want, what's really happening inside of those armed doors. And I mean armed.
I believe this building on the corner may be where Shelley lives.
Just here?
Yeah, right here.
Well, that's just too frustratingly close.
I know.
Scientology does secrecy better than anyone. Its most confounding and enduring mystery is the whereabouts of Shelley Miscavige, David's missing wife, not seen publicly for nearly two decades. In 2019, Tony Ortega and I travelled to Twin Peaks, California, to the compound where it's believed the one-time high priestess of the church has been kept out of sight since 2006.
Hello? We'd like to talk to you about Shelley Miscavige. Hello? If you can see us, please come out. We'd like to talk to you.
Has anything changed since you and I went looking for her?
There's been some new information, but generally it's the same situation as when you and I went up to the compound there. I still fully believe she's there. I've seen some records that suggest she is.
Just a month and a half ago, this photo of Shelley surfaced. It was taken when she managed to renew her driver's license in 2010. Documents also confirm the LAPD met with Shelley and an attorney for Scientology in 2013. But since then, nothing, apart from statements from the church denying Shelley is missing. They don't say where she is, only that she's working on a special project.
I think she's still cut off from the rest of the world. I think she's cut off from her own family. And, you know, the law enforcement just does not seem interested in the fact that David Miscavige has managed to banish his wife to a small mountain compound for 18 years now.
Do you think that Shelley would leave if she could? I mean, do you think, are you sure that this isn't her choice?
I'm not sure it's not her choice, but until I hear Shelley say that she wants to stay there, I guarantee you she's thought about leaving and she's thought about what life could be on the outside, and she should have that choice.
You are a Scientologist. You are a mindless robot.
The great hope is that the recent conviction of Scientologist and actor Danny Masterson, facing 30 years in jail for multiple rapes, changes everything. That once and for all, Scientology will be unmasked, allowing more and more victims to sue the church for their suffering. In the meantime, Valerie Haney's advice is simple. Steer clear. What warning would you give others about Scientology?
I would say don't even think about it. And I would say run for the hills. Do not get involved at all whatsoever.
You must feel like you're sort of betraying yourself sometimes to talk out about it.
Well, yeah, it's going against everything I was ever taught. I'm like dripping with sweat right now. But I know that it's right, and I know that it's the truth. So I have to, help others, and I have to make sure that it's not going to harm other people.
And the Real BS Show.
Yeah, well, this is BS. Yeah. You know what? I think I better change my mind about Scientology.
Yeah.
I don't think Tom Cruise is that important.
No.
Probably never get to meet him anyways.
No. I think he's a little too high up there to go around with common people,
Sounds like, I don't want to join the Sea Org either. That sounded awful.
No.
I mean, they really
stuck
make
on
them,
a ship out
They
in
make
the
them
ocean.
Work for nothing.
Yeah.
So, okay, Scientology's out. I'll have to check out. Maybe next week we'll check out Kenneth Copeland because he's really making big bucks.
Yeah, there's a whole laundry list there, And I think this goes back to, the old snake oil salesman. You got a lot of those figures across the world. It's a common theme, people trying to make a buck,
Well, that's what I mean. From my estimation and from my research, there's a pile of them. I mean, and they're all saying the same thing, give us $10 and you'll get back thousands.
Yeah.
Or, give us $1,000 and we'll be rich.
We'll also cover, Islam, too, because Muhammad, there's things that he was doing. Like, he was marrying a six-year-old and consummated the marriage when she was nine. There's some really messed up things, they did,
So you're saying all these religions are screwed in the head?
I would say majority of the people in those religions are probably fine, but there's people that is any society.
No, I don't mean the people that join. I mean the people that run them.
It could be. Let's say the founders could be fine, but there's sometimes the founders are not. Like you look at David Koresh. What the government did to David Koresh was wrong, and to those people. But David Koresh himself was a horrible person. And that's the kind of what I'm trying to get at.
That's the wacko from Waco, right?
Yeah. He was like diddling with little kids and stuff like that. Well, yeah.
Didn't they burn them all up or something?
Yeah, that was a complete screwball mess,
Yeah.
But the FBI and CIA are saying that it was him that started the fire. Then it's like, no, that they were, the FBI was starting the fire.
Well, they came at their house with a tank,
a big tank.
And tear gas or something.
Yeah, and it caught fire, yeah.
Yeah, what a mess. Oh, boy.
And, the thing is, that's a whole thing there. I remember hearing about that. And it's like they were taking pictures of, how you go hunting and you take a picture of your harvest when you shoot a deer that's a very nice deer. So you take a picture with it. It's kind of like that. It's like a harvest picture. That's what the FBI agents were doing. They were taking pictures with the burnt compound. It was all burnt to the ground completely. There was not a single structure standing. And they were taking pictures with it, smiling. I'm sitting there thinking, there were tons of people that died there.
And it's like a lot of kids, too.
Yeah. A lot of the kids did get out, but quite a few didn't.
Yeah.
But I think...
What was that other one that was up there in the hills?
Ruby Ridge.
Ruby Ridge.
That wasn't religious, though. Yeah.
No, that was the, you know, the government chasing the.
They were trying to sell him a shotgun.
Yeah, I mean, that was the reason for that other guy, Timothy McVeigh. Yep. He blew up the
Oklahoma City. Yeah,
yeah, Oklahoma City, and that was his revenge. He was doing it because of the Waco and because of Ruby Ridge.
Yeah. And they in Ruby Ridge, right. they were trying to get him to sell a sawed-off shotgun, and then they shot his wife and
kid.
Yeah.
One of his kids.
Yeah, it's messed up.
Yeah, that was boy.
That I will admit that one is beyond messed up to shoot an unarmed person. They're just doing nothing.
Janet Reno or was in charge.
She yeah.
Ooh
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, we live in a weird world that. You know, this goes into our government. There's people in the government that are not best actors. And I think, you know, we always have to remember that 1% of the population is psychopaths and 5% have sociopathic tendencies. And we have to remember those people run around and end up in positions of authority that shouldn't be there. And they run amok. They
have a lot of them.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, you get David Koresh or you get these...
Yeah, but we're the idiots to vote for him. Of course, we don't have a choice. We got one or the other.
And right.
Neither one of them are any good.
Yeah, and this is why I do vote third party because, you know, most of the candidates are not.
You know, I'm independent too, but you ain't got nobody to vote for.
Yeah.
They stick you in the middle there and you can't vote for any Republicans or Democrats.
Well, that's their primaries.
In the primaries.
Yeah, that's their primaries. I guess you let them have their pick.
I think I can vote for Robert Kennedy Jr.
Or Libertarian ticket, you know, or the Green Party if you really wanted to. You know, I don't really care for the Green Party, but, you know, that's an example. There is other parties. It's just, you know.
Yeah, but will they let you vote for those people
without
writing them in?
Oh, yeah, if they get on the ballot. So, for instance, the Libertarian ticket's most likely going to be on the ballot.
Is that okay for independents to vote for them?
Yeah.
Because you can't vote for Republicans and you can't vote for
Democrats. In the primaries, yeah.
In the primaries, yeah.
in the primaries, that's the parties voting. They pick who's going to be running for the party, yeah. But, yeah, going back to this thing, I don't think it's just one religion or, you know, obviously Scientology is not Christian, but some people focus on Christian too much.
Yeah, they call it a church, though. They got tax exempt.
Sure.
Status, so they don't, you know.
There's also the Church's spaghetti billions monster.
Billions and billions of dollars. They own all kinds of property everywhere.
There's also the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, and that's just a joke church that actually has nonprofit status. So it's an example. You can easily form your own, you know.
Yeah, I saw something that said that Heaven's Gate is still going.
Really?
Yeah. They said it's still in operation.
I didn't know
that's
that.
The one that
I thought they all died.
Yeah, they killed themselves when the comet went by or
maybe
something.
Maybe it's a new
like
group
that.
That's trying to take over the name.
I don't know.
You know, it wasn't Kool-Aid they drank. It was, I think, not Kool-Aid. It was the other one. It was like not Powerade, but it was another packet.
It said Jonestown Massacre.
Yeah, they spiked theirs. But the Heaven's Gate, they poisoned themselves, and they were wearing Nikes, you know.
So they could run faster?
No, they believe they should have been wearing Nikes to go to the alien spaceship. I don't know. That's just
all part of
their website's still up. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I heard, that they're still.
If you want a blast from the 90s, you could watch that website. It's going the Heaven's Gate website, and it looks like it's stuck in the 90s because they never updated it.
No, I never seen it.
Yeah.
But I seen the guy that was running it.
He was a nut job, man. He's just looking at
him. Oh, yeah, him and his wife. Holy cow.
Yeah, this.
I know she died, but I don't know about him.
I think the crazy, you can tell the crazy by the eyes, just the way their eyes are, how they.
Yeah, like Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah, exactly.
He looks like a devil.
Yeah,
snake. Oh, man. But I should check him out and see what, maybe the Mormons. Maybe
that's another one, yeah.
That's
a funny story, to be honest.
Boy.
They took a tablet that's ancient Egyptian, quote unquote, and it's not really ancient Egyptian. Supposedly it was ancient Egyptian. And then they had some angel called Moroni. I'm being joking. I'm saying moron. But then the angel took the tablet from him. And then it's like, it's the goofiest
Joseph,
thing.
What's his name? Smith.
Yeah. He started up just Western New York here.
Yeah.
And then
right,
came through
right.
here. Yeah.
I think he ended up in Illinois, and They threw him out the window or something.
Because he wanted to take all the men's wives. That's why. He was trying to be a polygamist. Again, it all comes down to the sex thing, man. Money, sex, and glory.
Yeah, and drugs.
Jeez.
Oh, boy. It's like never ending. And
just messed up.
You have the church of the common sense, you know, or the common, I don't know. I suppose there's a lot of churches that are forthright.
There's churches out there that do good in the community. You know, there's people that help others, and that's ones that you should focus on the good. But there is bad apples out there, and I think, you know, it's like any human, this is part of human nature. You know, people do get to a level of I deserve more because X, Y, Z. And I think that's part of the problem.
I know some pastors, and some of them are kind of nutty.
You know,
I mean, it's not bad nutty. They're just kind of nutty.
They're out there, yeah.
Yeah.
And we won't name names, but we think. I think that's a feature, is they have, it's in some ways a charisma, but that charisma could turn bad. You could have a psychopath that's a complete charismatic person, and they're a nut job with no emotional or, you know, they don't feel any emotions. And so they have no regret. And that's a little scary.
No common sense is what it is.
Yeah.
No work ethic, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, people got to work. There's no way around that.
Sure.
You know, if everybody just did nothing, you know, if everybody wanted to be homeless, that'd be the end.
Yeah. I mean, if you factor in where we're in society today, is we're doing less work now than ever. I mean, a lot of things are automated, you know, and so you look at, we don't have any cobblers anymore fixing shoes. There's like one in Erie, and good luck trying to get your shoes fixed, you know.
You just throw them away and buy another set of Chinese.
You know, my grandparents didn't throw things away. They fixed them. And I'm not trying to say we go back to it completely, but geez, that was in some ways, a lot of people had jobs that,
well,
you know.
Look at my pants. They got a patch sewed on them.
He's gonna put his trucker name on there.
Jeez. Yeah, they're comfortable.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Duluth.
Oh, there you go.
That's what they are, Duluth.
Well, before that, you had air conditioning, right? You built in air conditioning in your pants.
Yeah, well, I didn't want that.
No.
So, okay, Scientology's out. All right, so we'll check out the Mormons and the...
Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah. Benny Hinn. Yep. I don't know if he's still in business.
He is, but he cheated on his wife. You know, so I don't know if that.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a messed up thing, isn't it? You know, you sit there and preach about not doing something, and you end up doing it.
Well, Ted Haggard was the same way.
Yeah, he's anti-gay and turns out to be a second dick on the side, you know?
And doing drugs, too.
Yeah.
Doing mescaline or something.
Yeah, whatever, you know?
He said, oh, no, I just bought it and threw it away.
Yeah.
You're right. Right.
He's kind of like Bill Clinton. He's like, I didn't inhale, and he's like, I didn't suck.
I don't know. It's a crazy world, that's for sure. I mean, who do you believe? You know, who do you trust? I don't know.
I think the old saying is trust but verify. You know, you trust somebody until they prove you're wrong. Because how else do you see them by their works? You know, if they're doing good things. Then you'll see the evidence. If they're just a bunch of BS.
Who was that other guy? Joel Olstein.
Yeah, he's a scammer.
Is he?
He's the biggest scammer. I will say, he doesn't even talk about the Bible at all. And doesn't quote.
He sounds like a self-help guru.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And so, in a lot of ways, anyone that listens to him needs to realize he's the biggest prosperity doctrine. And I'm just waiting for a real concrete thing to come crashing through that he was a scam artist the whole time. Because... He doesn't quote anything at all. It's sad. You know, millions of dollars going to him and nothing to the community that's around him.
They got some pretty nice churches.
Yeah,
though.
Sure.
Some really nice buildings. And,
You know, if you're a Christian, you should be calling that idolatry to be looking at those buildings and think that's a good thing. I think.
Oh, that's who's that other guy? Is that Jim and Tammy Baker?
Yeah.
What an operation they had going.
They had gold columns on their TV show, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is the most. And her hair, she had all these wigs, thousands and thousands of dollars of wigs, and it's like, why? You're wasting your money.
Yeah, beautiful cars and really beautiful house.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Heritage USA. That's their Disneyland, Christian Disneyland.
Yeah.
I think it's all, well, they oversold their membership. You give them $1,000, you get three days and three nights at the Heritage USA.
Oh, yeah.
Trouble is they sold, 3 million of them.
Mm.
And the building's not even done yet. And, it's stopped now. But
right.
There was no way in the world that people could stay there for 3 days and three nights because right. There was too many of them.
Right, right, right.
So where'd all the money go?
Yeah, It's similar to other situations that are not even religious. Look at the communist government when they're building all these condos and they oversell them and they end up tearing them down and people already spent money on them. It's the same concept, you know. It's corruption where it's corruption, you know. It's humans.
It's everywhere.
Yeah,
I think Tammy Baker died.
Yeah, she's dead.
Yeah,
I think her husband's dead too. Paul is. Yeah.
Jim.
Yeah.
Jim Baker died.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that Jim, yeah, true. Jim, yeah.
Jim and Tammy.
Yeah, yeah.
They really had it going on. Yeah. Boy.
Yeah, I think he cheated on her or something like that, too.
They divorced. Yeah, that's what started the whole thing. Jessica Hahn.
Yeah.
Is his girlfriend.
Yeah.
He got caught.
Yeah.
Or she, they were trying to pay her hush money, and then she just came out and said, nope, you know, this is what happened, and here's your prosperity teacher. Here's a real thing. I don't know. You got any music to end this with?
Yeah, I got some songs.
Okay, why don't we just play a couple tunes and we'll sign off and see y'all next week, and we'll check into. I want to check in to see about the Mormons or somebody else. You know,
yeah.
See which I should find one. There ought to be one out there that you can pattern yourself after.
Sure.
So we'll search around next week and see what we find. All right. Okay. Till then.
See ya.
Little black submarines operator, please put me back on the line. Told my girl I'd be back, operator, please. This is wrecking my mind. Oh, can it be? The voice is calling me. They get lost and out of time. I should have seen it glow, but everybody knows that a broken heart is blind. That a broken heart is blind. Pick you up, let you down when I wanna go to a place I can hide. You know me, I had plans, but they just disappear to the back of my mind. Oh, can it be? The voice is calling me. They get lost and out of time. I should have seen it glow, but everybody knows.